Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take your source material, the articles, the research, the chatter, and really pull out what you need to know. Today, we are strapping in for a deep dive into one of the most active, and I've got to say, one of the most polarizing platforms out there, Turon or, you know, TDRX.
It really is. We've got this fascinating stack of analysis. On one hand, you see these just staggering metrics. It's a global powerhouse.
A legitimate high-performance platform. I mean, yeah. Founded by Justin Sun, the goal was what? Decentralizing digital content? Gaming.
Exactly. But on the other side of the coin, you have these significant structural risks that critics are, frankly, screaming about. They say the project is fundamentally unstable.
So that's our mission today. We need to unpack that tension.
Right. We have to understand why Tron has hit this late 2025 position as a global leader in, say, stablecoin volume and daily active users.
But also, what's the cost of that? What are the trade-offs?
Mm-hmm. The goal is to give you a really balanced look at the benefits driving the growth versus, you know, those major flashing red lights.
And the growth is just, it's impossible to ignore. The amount of value they process every day is huge.
Okay, let's unpack this. What makes Tron a powerhouse for millions of users? And what are the structural flaws that any serious investor has to be cautious about?
I think we have to start with a very simple truth. Tron works. It works because it serves a massive, immediate, real-world need.
A need that other chains, frankly, kind of failed to serve, or at least failed to serve efficiently.
Exactly. The whole argument for Tron is utilitarian. It's built for huge volumes of cheap transactions, period.
And let's anchor that in the numbers. When we talk utility, the single biggest factor is its dominance in stablecoin liquidity. It is the world leader.
This is the critical nugget. Tron hosts the largest circulating supply of Tether USDT on any single blockchain. Any of them.
And that's not just a vanity metric. That dictates its actual function in the global economy.
Yeah, so what is that function? I mean, it's not just crypto enthusiasts moving money around, right?
Oh, absolutely not. It's become this crucial, I'd almost say indispensable, global payment rail. We're talking millions of people, primarily in, you know, emerging markets. Think Latin America, Southeast Asia, parts of Africa.
People who rely on it daily.
Daily. They use it to send and receive USD-pegged value instantly. Remittances, business payments, microtransfers, all of it.
And for many of them, it's the only option that's fast and, crucially, cheap enough to be viable.
That speed and cost, that's the whole technical enabler. The sources all point to Tron processing over, what, 2,000 transactions per second?
Yeah, 2,000 TPS, which is just staggering compared to the old-school banking rails these users would otherwise be stuck with.
And that speed comes from its architecture. It's called Delegated Proof of Stake. Or DPoS.
Okay, but lots of chains are fast. What's the secret sauce here?
The secret sauce, the part that really unlocked that global adoption, is their resource model, this idea of bandwidth and energy. Mm. That's what makes it so cheap.
Right. Explain that model for us, because that cost structure is really its biggest competitive edge.
Think of it like this. You stake a small amount of TRX, but you're not really thinking of it as an investment. It's more like a subscription fee.
Oh.
Once you've staked that little bit of TRX, the network gives you enough bandwidth and energy to do your normal everyday transactions for almost zero cost.
Mm-hmm.
Often it's completely free.
So it's like a prepaid unlimited data plan, but for sending money.
That's a perfect analogy.
Okay.
Exactly. If you're a user in, say, Venezuela or the Philippines, and you're sending $5 to family.
A network fee of 50 cents is a huge deal.
It could be 5 or 10% of the whole transaction on another chain. So getting that transfer done instantly for free, it's unbeatable. That's why they win the volume game.
And you see the proof of that right in the adoption metrics. Tron is consistently at the top for daily active addresses. It's often number two, right behind a giant like Solana.
And all that high consistent demand, it's directly quantifiable. That activity is what drove Tron's network revenue to record highs all through 2025.
It's a feedback loop.
It's a self-reinforcing model.
Yeah.
The great cost structure brings in users, and the users drive the network's revenue.
Okay, so that really solidifies the core utility argument. Tron is the stablecoin rail for the world's most demanding users, the ones who need speed and low cost to, you know, survive. But the question now becomes about growth. Is Tron just happy being the world's best remittance chain, or is it pushing for more? Here's where it gets really interesting.
They are absolutely pushing for more. They're making strategic moves, and their big one in late 2025 really shows their ambition.
It's a cross-chain bridge.
The launch of a major cross-chain bridge to Base. This is a very deliberate move to connect their massive global user base to the deepest pools of institutional capital.
So for you listening, Base is Coinbase's big layer two solution. It lives right inside the Ethereum ecosystem. Why is linking to Base specifically such a big deal for Tron?
It's about accessibility and validation, really. The Ethereum ecosystem, especially layer two, is tied to a major regulated U.S. company like Coinbase.
That's where the institutional money is.
That's where the big compliant U.S. capital lives. So this bridge lets the TRX token itself be natively traded and used in that sophisticated world. It takes TRX from being just a utility token on its own network.
And turns it into an asset that can play in the US DeFi space.
Exactly. It can now interact with all that DeFi liquidity.
But doesn't that move risk, I don't know, alienating their core users? I mean, these are people in places where access to institutional DeFi is basically science fiction.
That's a fair point. And it shows how the project's identity is changing. The goal isn't really to drag a user from Manila onto Base.
Okay, so what is it then?
The goal is to bring the institutional capital to the TRX asset. It's a mechanism for capital importation. By building that bridge, they diversify the reasons people would want to hold TRX, making it relevant to a whole new class of investor.
And we should probably remember that Tron isn't only a payment rail. The stablecoin volume gets the headlines, but they still have their roots in decentralized entertainment, in gaming.
And that diversification creates a second layer of utility. I mean, look at what they already have. Their acquisition of BitTorrent, for example.
Right.
That platform uses TRX for decentralized file sharing, which drives consumption of network resources.
Uh-huh.
Or look at JustLend, which is a big lending protocol on the chain.
So these create their own internal demand for TRX separate from the whole remittance market.
Mm-hmm. They are trying to build a multi-pillar economy, even if one pillar right now is, you know, much, much bigger than the others.
So what we've got is a project that wins on speed, cost, and a proven market fit in global payments, and now it's aggressively chasing institutional growth. But, like we said at the top, that performance model has trade-offs.
And that's the pivot point. If we connect it to the bigger picture, we see the very same architecture that gives them all that speed and efficiency is also responsible for some major structural risks.
This is where we have to get critical.
Essential. We have to look hard at centralization and some really heavy asset dependencies.
Let's start with the most glaring one. Tether, USDT. The analysis says something like 50% of Tron's entire network activity is tied directly to Tether usage.
50%. It's a critical vulnerability. It is a single point of failure and a single asset dependency that you just don't see on other major blockchains.
And the implication of that is, what if something happens to Tether?
It's severe.
Yeah.
Any big regulatory action against Tether, especially from the US or Europe, would instantly put half of Tron's entire utility and fee revenue at risk.
And it doesn't even have to be a regulatory action.
Right. If the market just shifts, you know, say to Circle's USDC or maybe stablecoins on Solana or the Ethereum L2s get more popular. If that happens, Tron loses its primary competitive advantage.
Its moat.
Okay, so that's risk number one. The second major argument is about the network structure itself, governance, centralization.
Oh.
The whole network is governed by a really small group of super representatives, just 27 of them. And that limited validator set is way more centralized than its peers. I mean, compare it to Ethereum with its thousands of nodes. It's not even close.
So what's the criticism there? That it concentrates too much power.
That's the argument. Because these SRs are elected by staked TRX, it means huge token holders, including the Tron DAO itself, have this outsized influence over everything, upgrades, network operations, maybe even censorship.
You traded robust distributed security for speed and low cost.
That's the trade-off, exactly.
And that structural risk, it leads right into the third big concern, which is the key person risk tied to its founder, Justin Sun.
Sun's influence is a double-edged sword. It creates a massive vulnerability. He's the face of the project. He drives the deals, which is great, until it's not.
Right.
The sources point out that any legal or regulatory trouble for him personally and their ongoing SEC investigations into things like unregistered security sales, that trouble can instantly translate into sharp price drops and reputational damage for the whole project.
Even if the network itself is working perfectly.
Irrespective of that, the market reacts to the founder, not just the code.
We should also touch on Tron's own stablecoin, USDD. I mean, that asset has historically raised some red flags about transparency, especially after the whole Terra Luna collapse.
It definitely holds an uncomfortable place in the ecosystem. Now, to be fair, the 2025 USDD 2.0 upgrade did shift it to an over-collateralized model to make it more stable.
But
any algorithmic or even quasi-algorithmic asset is going to be under a microscope with global regulators. If there's a major depegging event, even if they fix it, or a regulatory crackdown on that type of asset, it's another systemic risk that could destabilize the whole Tron ecosystem.
Okay, and finally, let's talk competition. Tron's core value has always been, we're fast and cheap. But the market is catching up.
The market is moving very fast.
We're seeing this relentless improvement from Ethereum's Layer 2's Arbitrum, Optimism, and of course, Base.
This is the existential challenge for Tron going forward. These L2s are now offering performance that's getting pretty similar to Tron. Fast transactions, super low fees.
But they have a much better security model underneath them.
They benefit from the massive decentralized security of Ethereum itself. Tron has a huge first-mover advantage in stablecoin volume right now that's undeniable. But if L2s can match the performance while offering better security, they could threaten Tron's whole position as the default cheap payment rail.
So what does this all mean for you? If we boil this all down, Tron is defined by this unmatched, indispensable real-world utility in global payments. It's driving huge revenue, huge user numbers. That's the massive tailwind.
But that tailwind is matched by some severe headwinds. It is burdened by extreme centralization risks, a structural reliance on Tether, and this profound key person risk with its founder.
That's a unique case study.
It really is. You have to weigh the raw transactional performance and the undeniable market fit directly against these structural vulnerabilities that could, you know, bring the whole thing down if the winds shift.
Which makes for a really high stakes trade-off. So here's a final provocative thought for you to consider. Given the relentless march of Layer 2 solutions offering similar speed and better security, can Tron's existing dominance in stablecoins permanently outweigh these foundational concerns about centralization and single asset dependency?
Mm-hmm.
You should keep a very close eye on the actual transactional usage of that Base Tron bridge. Not just tokens moving, but real usage. That will tell you if institutional capital is willing to ignore the structural flaws for the sake of efficiency.
A fascinating test case for the market, really. Utility versus ideology.
Thank you for diving deep with us. We will catch you next time.